morning and welcome to another Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, before we get into some August tips that we're going to be talking about here really soon, coming up very shortly is going to be a container gardening workshop. We talked about this a little bit last week with Jan Peterzelka over at the Downtown Artist and Farmers Market. It's happening August the 8th. And tell us a little bit about these monthly presentations that the Master Gardeners have at that farmers market.
Sure. So all summer long, the Master Gardeners have been out there on the second Saturdays of each month. To be able to reach a new audience and maybe folks that haven't ventured out to all of the farmers markets around town. But it's a great way to be able to be engaging and interactive, you know, information tables and educational booths. You think, you know, just paper and stuff and very dry to some extent. But really, these demonstrations are what they are. They're interactive. They're little workshops. They'll be able to visit with you one-on-one or even give a small little class of folks that are interested. We had some really great turnout a couple of weeks ago at a microgreens program. So we change up the subject every month. We try to align it to what's popular and topics that may be of interest to people. But it's just another way for Master Gardeners to work and engage with the public.
Well, a really exciting one is coming up in September, and that's Roses for Fall. And I think you're going to get a lot of people out at that one.
Yes, most definitely. Anybody who's been out to the Rose Garden in El Paso, first of all, we have a Rose Garden. for those of you that may not know, it's a wonderful little gem right in the central part of El Paso, right near Memorial Park off Copia. It's a really nice area for people to come out there and visit and look at all of the different types of roses that we're able to grow in El Paso. And the Master Gardeners and the Rose Society really put in a lot of effort into maintaining that garden and keep that available for the public itself. There's a lot of special events that are held at the garden. I see a lot of photography.
A lot of weddings,
a
right?
A lot of weddings are also taking place out there, and it is available for rental out there. But really, it's the flowers and the scents that really draw people in. So take a look at that, and we'll be talking about how to revive your rose garden for the fall, looking at maybe some potential diseases or pests that may attack them, or if you just want to extend the life of those blooms, you know, you'll get to learn some little techniques.
And also really quickly, we talked last week about the Master Gardener class that's going to be coming up, and the application deadline is coming up in a few weeks on August 24th. So we want to invite you to perhaps listen to our previous show on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org to learn more about the Master Gardener program. We also have information and links how to register on the Good to Grow page as well. So just want to throw that in there before we jump into the rest of our show. So August gardening tips. It's not a terribly busy month to be out in the garden, but there are still some things that we can be doing.
Right, exactly. And really what we see around this time in early August is really those effects of maybe overwatering or underwatering, or, you know, that overall heat stress that these plants are going under. So it's really important to be able to go out to the garden and see if you are in fact watering enough or maybe too much in your garden beds. A really great tool to be able to use is a screwdriver, believe it or not, just any old flat tip screwdriver. The longer, the better. Rummage through your garage or tool shed and pick one out, and then use that as your handy-dandy garden tool. That's really a great way to kind of drive that into the soil itself, and you can really tell that you can easily penetrate the soil in there. You know that there's enough moisture going on there. If you have to drive that in, or there's really a lot of resistance to get that into the soil, you know that you're looking at, you know, you're on the drier side. So those are really great techniques to kind of implement so that you don't have to dig up your entire garden just to check if there's water going on underneath there. So kind of use it as a little soil probe, if you will, and have that in your own little gardening toolbox there. Because unfortunately, a lot of times we err on the underwatering. We kind of think that if we have some oak trees that are in close, you know, proximity to your grass, that the oaks are getting enough water, or, you know, your trees are okay. Well, that's not necessarily the case. You know, you got to look at the total root structure of your grass is going to be 4 to 6 inches below the ground, but then your trees are going to be at, you know, 18 inches to 2 feet, you know.
And spread out lengthwise even further.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, considering that, it's like, well, who do I water for? Do I water for the trees or do I water for the lawn? Well, you know, that's really up to you and how you prioritize that. I've always said that, you know, we're lacking tree canopy in El Paso. And the more trees that we have, the better. I think that's really the answer, to be able to really cool off a lot of these hot spots that we have. So, yeah, look for your trees. You don't want to stress those guys out, and you don't want to lose any branches and limbs and you know, have that as an issue. Look at that really as an investment. Your turf grass can handle a little bit more neglect than your trees.
Especially if it's Bermuda, right?
Right, right, exactly. So they can handle that. But, you know, make sure you get those nice deep waterings to be able to quench the needs of the trees while not drowning out your turf grass.
Well, what are the signs of overwatering? Now, obviously, we talked a little bit about underwatering, but are there any signs you can just eyeball? I know we've talked in the past, like if you underwatered your turf, it's going to sort of take on a bluish tinge. And like if you step on it, it's going to leave a pretty distinctive mark. Right. But if you, some people kind of love their plants too much and
right.
love their grass a little too much. And so what are the signs of that if you were just to look out at your lawn or at your plants?
Right, exactly. So definitely if we overwater, we're going to look at a lot of pest and disease problems going on. We can have a lot of issues with maybe some mushroom spores coming up, especially when we get a lot of heavy rainfall mm-hmm. on that. But also containers are one of the ones that are easily overwatered. And that's due to the lack of drainage within the pot, or that's just a matter of just overwatering or thinking that, you know, just because it's every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, we want to give our plants a drink of water. So you want to make sure that you look at your plant to see what state it's in. A lot of times, and just a general term, if a plant is getting overwatered, it's going to turn a little yellowish in color, and then the leaves will eventually fall off. The opposite to that is if they get crunchy and dry off, then you know that's lack of water.
Ah.
So it's very general terms, but something to look in and consider. And then also just taking a look at the soil that the containers are in. You don't want soggy soil on that. The consistency of like a wrung out sponge is a really good way to kind of an optimum water amount for your plants. Anything that deviates on the either end of that, then you want to make sure to take a look at. Also, if you have any container plants that are in potting soil that are inside or that are in a patio, you'll also see a lot of fungus gnats. Those are those little pesky little
flying
black
around.
Flies that kind of hover around the soil surface. Those fungus gnats really like the organic matter in the potting soil, and they really like the moisture. So a lot of times just by removing that bottom tray or saucer and pulling back on the water will magically make those fungus gnats disappear. It's really not magic. It's just the fact is that there's not that water in there for them to reproduce, and they don't thrive in that. So looking at those telltale signs around your plants to be able to look at what's going on.
And I know with potted plants, there's a really super easy way to tell if it needs water, and it's your finger. Stick your finger in the dirt.
Exactly, exactly. And you want to make sure that, you know, even if that surface, even if, like, people don't like won't dig in there. Don't take that quarter inch as an indicator of what's going on below the surface. A lot of times, we've run into this in the past, is that, well, the top looks dry. Well, okay, well, let's take a look a little bit further mm-hmm. in there, and you know those top 2 inches are going to be really that soil moisture indicator. A lot of times if there's not enough drainage, then you have that, you know, really soggy bottom on there, and that mm-hmm. soil is very soggy on there, and that's going to wick up. It's really not going to go anywhere. Think of it like as a system, you know, your inputs and then your outputs, you know, and then to know what's going on with your containers.
Well, it's monsoon season. We talked about this on a recent live show, but I think powdery mildew might be something that people might be seeing on their plants. And in case maybe people don't know what it looks like, what would powdery mildew look like on a particular plant?
So powdery mildew looks like baby powder. Sprinkled on the top, and it could happen in the bottom sides of the leaves themselves. And what it does is it really is favorable conditions right now with the lower temperatures and the higher humidity. So that little combination actually, you know, works really well for powdery mildew. If you have that, don't fear, but don't spray that off with a water hose because you'll just be dispersing those spores into the air and essentially spreading your problem. One thing you want to do is spray that with a fungicide. You can use a lot of different things on the market. One of the most safer chemicals or fungicides to use is neem oil, N-E-E-M oil. That's a botanical extract, and you can easily dilute that and spray that into your sprayer. Just keep an eye if you are growing edible crops to make sure that you look at that days to harvest. That's going to tell you when it's safe to be able to put that last application of a fungicide before you harvest your plants to eat. Neem works also in ornamentals. Roses are also highly affected by powdery mildew. Oh. That's what we talk about, air circulation and allowing, you know, those leaves to dry out. So, you know, you don't want to water the foliage of the plant unless you're trying to remove a pest. If you do that, you know, you want to do that in the early mornings so that you allow enough time for that water to evaporate and not sit on that leaf and in those conditions.
So, yeah, I was going to ask what kinds of plants powdery mildew has a tendency to affect.
Yeah, they don't discriminate.
No, not at all. Equal opportunity powdery mildew.
Exactly. Equal opportunity offender on there. We're very lucky as far as any kind of mildew or fungus issues in El Paso with our dry climate. But We do have that little window of high humidity, believe it or not. So keep that in mind.
I know you got a question not too long ago while you were at one of the farmers markets about vincas.
Right.
So describe for those of us who might not know what a vinca is.
So a vinca that's the actual genus. It's a vinca. It's also known as periwinkle. And in Spanish, I believe they're called teresitas. They're about 6-petal flowers, and they usually are fuchsia or white, and then they have like a little center a color, and they're low growing, little herbaceous bedding plants. And what they'll do is they have nice, really glossy leaves. They do really well in pots and containers for small areas. And I had a question by saying, well, I think I have a problem with my vinca. And it looks like this backyard gardener was actually overwatering his vincas. And he was seeing an overall yellow tone to those glossy green leaves. And then the vinca would just kind of sit there, and then all of a sudden the leaves would drop.
Well, in this last minute or so we have left, you told me about a really interesting crop that the master gardeners are growing, and a lot of people are probably using it to exfoliate.
Oh, right. So master gardeners, anybody, you know, we look through our seed catalogs and we start thinking of things. Oh, what are we going to plant and what are we going to try next? And the master gardeners are so excited because they started to grow loofah, believe it or not. So, yes, we consider, you know, loofah as being like an exfoliating tool that you can use. I do understand that it is used in some Asian cuisine when the loofah is much smaller and more tender.
Yeah, you don't want to cook the loofah that you've got
on your bathroom shelf. Not at all. So when it's small and it's tender, it's used for the cuisine. But if you let it sit on the vine and mature, it's going to obviously get stringy and fibrous, which makes all great for a beauty tool, but not so much for eating. But and the flowers are they're huge, beautiful orange flowers. It looks like a very tropical feel to that part of the garden, if you will. And the loofahs at this point are about 6 to 8 inches long. They look like huge cucumbers growing on this vine of this tree. And
so are you selling them at the farmer's market?
Well, no, they're not ready yet.
Oh, okay.
They're not ready yet. So this is the first year that they've grown them at that vegetable garden.
So people can look forward to it.
So we can look forward to the fall and see the harvest of
homegrown loofahs.
So,
yeah,
it's always a potential for something different.
Well, we would encourage you to go to our website, go to the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. We want to thank Eddie, Belinda, and Mike for helping engineer today's show. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.